Rick, we want to take a couple of minutes here at this USB February meeting in Birmingham to visit with you, talk about some of the activities of the production committee. Where's the emphasis these days?
Well, the emphasis is spread out a lot of areas. Of course, we're always emphasis on yield. Trying to protect our yields from environmental and biological stresses is always top importance for farmers and for the checkoff. When it also comes to the production committee, another area we're looking at is research fellowships and basically the research infrastructure and task force. In the task force looking at that, we want to make sure that we continue to have soybean researchers well into the future.
In fact, one of your researchers is here at this meeting.
Yeah, well, we've actually picked our third recipient this year, Landon Reese. He's going to be studying at the University of Minnesota, and we're excited to have him here because he's a bright young student, and he has a lot of motivation and a lot of willingness to learn and willingness to bring the soybean industry into the future.
Take a moment and talk a little bit about some of the thinking that went into the fellowship and how it's working out for USB.
Well, the research fellowship was a program that's actually a project that really started 4 years ago, and it took a little bit of time to get the contracts, and it's done, how it's done, it's run through the American Agronomy Society, so that really they basically are ones who kind of run the whole thing, and we just were the funding behind it. We ran into a problem. Most of our soybean scientists nowadays we have are getting older and they're really getting ready to retire or move on. We notice there's a problem. We don't want to be stuck without having top-end soybean researchers to keep the farmers on the cutting edge. So they brought us to having the research fellowship. Our first research fellowship was Tom Seversyke out of North Carolina State. He's studying right now under Tommy Carter, and we visited him, and he's really making great progress. And just some of his progress in the drought projects he's been really beneficial to the whole program. Our second one is Carolyn Bonin. She's currently studying at the University of Illinois under Brian Deers, and she's making great strides in basically within soybean cyst nematode and a lot of the projects that Brian works on. And we're actually going to go visit her this summer to really see how she's doing, how she fits in, and brings us to Landon Reese, which is our third fellowship. And really, it's a great warm feeling for the committee to know that we're benefiting the soybean industry by bringing new young scientists to the industry.
I was going to say, and Landon in his comments couldn't say enough about what this fellowship means to him and the research that he's conducting.
You're exactly right. It makes you feel good as a checkoff program that we're bringing new scientists, new potential scientists to the industry, that we're giving back to the industry as much as it's giving to us as farmers.
While we're on the subject of research, Rick, let's take a moment and talk about research coordination. That was an issue that came up during the general session. How do you make sure that some of this research isn't a duplication of something being done elsewhere?
Yeah. Research coordination, that's kind of like a little secret of the production committee. Under the research coordination, it has several different areas. The number one area you just talked about, we fund a project under Keith Smith, which he'll put a database of all the production projects from basically all checkoffs, whether it be state or national, and we send that out to all executive directors, and we send that out to all state QSSB chairmen, so they can have it, so everybody has an opportunity to look at it. And it's also available online under the USB website. You can find the Keith Smith database, so you can look at every project being done in any area that you may want to find projects being done in. The second area where research coordination is important to us is we host meetings, constant meetings, basically through all the researchers, whether they're all working on SCN, whether they're all working on drought tolerance, whether they're all working on basically exotic germplasms. We'll host meetings among these scientists so they all come together so they're not duplicating their efforts. And that's an important issue. Really, much of the early on work done by the soybean genomics was brought together by the soybean checkoff hosting a meeting of soybean geneticists and just in geneticists in general to see if this was possible and even feasible to do. And early work done by that put the soybean in position to receive money from the Joint Genome Institute, receive money from the National Science Foundation, which really put us in position to say that the soybean genome is mapped well ahead of schedule.
Rick, when you look at the many different research projects that the Soybean Checkoff has funded in the past, I think it's just human nature that everybody wants that research to move quicker than what it does. But in all reality, some of this research is long-term.
You're exactly right. Some of the soybean research is very long-term. We're hoping to change that now with market-assisted selection and genomics. We're hoping that changes the research community drastically, where in the past, a researcher really had to find a trait of interest, which took a lot of times 10 to 15 years just to find that trait of interest in a plant. And then it'd take another 10 to 15 years to even get that bred into a high-yielding line. Just to give you an example, if we would have marker-assisted selection today, how it would have changed when looking for rust tolerance, how much that would have sped up that, it could have been tremendous. So looking at, there was 20,000 lines that were tested for rust tolerance. Only 800 of the 20,000 lines came up with rust tolerance. If we would have had markers for rust tolerance 5 years ago, breeders could have gone in there and looked through the germplasm and looked through everything for these particular traits that were marked, said these are the ones we need, and never had to grow out the 20,000 lines. Think of the money that would have been saved, the time that would have been saved. Think how far along we would have been to having a variety in the field that would have been tolerant to rust. And the same thing is going to come down the pipeline here now in the future with high yields, with new traits. I mean, we've had all the traits now with 6 traits for basically anything with mid oleic or any oleic trait or any oleic acid trait. We've marked all 6 traits now that make that up. So to get these new varieties into the farmer's hands now is going to be so much faster with genomics.
Rick, just one other question, and this came up during the general session here in Birmingham. How does the production committee go about evaluating what research projects you're going to put checkoff dollars towards?
Well, we start off with that when we're looking at the projects. When new projects come to us, we'll look at we find the projects around Rather at the University of Missouri, who basically, it's just a quick, simple statistic study which will say what are our highest yield robbers and where we lost the most amount from and how they're impacting farmers across the country. So we'll see how that fits in with that. The second, we're also going to look at Key Smith's database. So we're not duplicating projects that a QSSB is doing that we're not doing already, and we'll see how it fits in with that. We also look to see what industry is doing to see where they're falling into this, so we're not duplicating what industry is doing. And the third, we listen to farmers. Every farmer on the board, when we pick a committee, comes from almost a different geographical area. So we see how it's impacting them, because some farmers from the south, like myself, I don't have charcoal rot, so I'm not too sure how charcoal rot will ever affect me. But farmers that sit on the board from Mississippi, from Arkansas, they understand the importance of charcoal rot. They understand why we need to do charcoal rot research. So they bring their knowledge of that to the committee and say, hey, this is why it's important to do. So really, the committee always puts their opinion forward, and we really begin to build out what we need to do from there. And really, I think we have a good selection of projects.
Well, Rick, I've taken enough of your time here at this board meeting, but as always, it's a pleasure to get an update on what's going on in the production committee.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. We always like giving out to the farmers out there so they hear what the production committee is doing. It's important that they know what research is being done, so they know the questions they ask and what's coming down the pipeline for them.